The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Today, I would like to talk about one of the teachings that Sayadaw Utejaniya often emphasizes, which is the teaching on what he calls right attitude for meditation. And many of you, or some of you might have, you know, reflected on this quite a bit already. It's kind of the one of the core teachings of Sayadaw. But it's always, I think, useful to, you know, keep on reflecting on it and keep on checking in with their own practice, what our attitude is. And Sayadaw calls it right attitude and wrong attitude. And this might, you know, work for you, this wording. But if in case it feels like a little bit like, oh, right and wrong, I'm not sure if that's helpful. You know, feeling like you're doing something right or wrong, then it, you know, you can also use words like wise attitude and unwise, or skillful and unskillful attitude. So that's kind of just maybe helpful for some people to see, to use just a different phrasing. So if I say right and wrong, then you know that it's kind of Sayadaw's way to describe it, but that you can fill this in with a bit wise or skillful, or unwise, unskillful, or another word that might work for you. And Sayadaw has this this little document that I got when I was in the monastery there. It's kind of this harmonica, kind of like little leaflet with all these, yes, very short phrases on this topic. And he also has this on his website as in a PDF. So I'll share that PDF on Audio Dharma after when I upload this recording. And I want to go over some of the points that he makes in that little leaflet. He I think there are like 23 points or so. So I want to just, you know, just some reflections on what Sayadaw is writing in that little leaflet. And first I want to start with what I thought was a really interesting way that Gil describes attitude, Gil Fronsdal. He says, the English word attitude comes from the 17th century French word of the same spelling, which referred to the way someone was positioned in a work of art. Given its capacity for great beauty, the mind might be seen as a work of art, perhaps as a kind of painting. The attitudes we hold determine the composition of this painting. Some attitudes contribute to its beauty, while others detract from it. So that's what Gil says, and I thought that was a very interesting way of describing attitudes in the mind. So the attitudes meaning the relationship we have to what is happening, how we relate to it. So what I refer to in the meditation, we can relate to a certain way to what is happening. Crave it, push it away, being confused, not knowing, contentment, okayness. And all these, yeah, these attitudes, these ways that we relate to what is happening, we can see that as a work of art, like our mind being influenced by this. Our minds, like you can imagine, if you're all the time kind of aversive, pushing things away, that influences, yeah, the mind, that influences this artwork of the mind. And if we can be kind of equanimous and kind and compassionate towards what is happening, then our artwork will look quite different. So it's worthwhile to look at this in our own minds. What kind of attitude are we meditating with? Or even just doing our daily life, you know, during our daily life. So one of the things that Sayadaw mentions is that when meditating, he says, don't focus too hard. That's one of the things he mentions. Don't focus too hard. And we have this tendency to kind of strive a lot, overstrive, strive too much in our meditation. Kind of this, yeah, this drive to get something, to want something. And he often gives this exercise. You may have done this one before, where he says, like, oh, put your fingers, tips together like this. And if you do, maybe you can try it out right now. Put the fingertips together, and like, how hard is it to notice that the fingertips are touching each other? It's probably pretty easy, right? We just know it. It's just there. And that's the amount of effort we need. That's the amount of focus. Very, very light. There's just a knowing. And the Buddha has also has like a simile, or it's more like this one disciple, Sona, who was striving too hard. He was like doing walking meditation, and the soles of his feet started bleeding because he was just doing so intense practice, that the Buddha came and he said, like, oh, so now this is not really helpful. He referred to Sona. He was a string instrument player. He played some form of a string instrument. And the Buddha said to him, and what happens if you string your instrument really tight? And then Sona said, well, then the sound doesn't sound good. What if you string it too loose? Well, the sound is not good either, right? So the Buddha said, you just have to string it just right, like tune it just right. And then the sound will be nice and beautiful. And the same accounts for a meditation practice. Too much of this striving, too much effort, like if we're really like trying really hard to feel those fingertips touch, we'll just get tired. That's what Sayadaw says, it tires us. But if we can relax, kind of ease back into it, like have this easefulness about it, then it's just right. And it's just right to, and we get a beautiful sound in our minds. We contribute to this artwork of the mind. And of course, we can also strive not enough, but that's less common for Westerners. But we can be too lax as well. So it's really about this attunement, this balance. And when we do feel like, oh, wait, there's a lot of striving, I'm getting tired and stressed and tense, then we can start to notice it. That's kind of the key point. Start noticing it. Start noticing this attitude of striving, this attitude of wanting. And this can sometimes already be enough to relax, to let this tension kind of go, just to notice, oh, wait, that's what I'm doing. And we can also consciously relax the body, do a kind of a body scan, for example, relaxing from the head down to the feet, or from the feet up to the head, whatever we feel that works best for us. We can even invite the mind to relax. Like Andrea sometimes also says, oh, try, maybe it works to just invite the mind to relax, invite the brain to relax. These are just kind of little things we can try. It doesn't always work, of course. We can also investigate, and do we want this meditation to go a certain way? Why are we striving so hard? Is there a certain tendency to control? And Sayadaw says, hey, don't control, don't try to create anything. So is this tendency there to control something or to create something that is not there? And a caveat for the create something Like if we try to create something often, Sayadaw says, also in this leaflet, creating something is loba. And loba is Pali word for greed. It's greed. It's one of those three attitudes, one of those three unwholesome attitudes of greed, aversion, and delusion, or the not knowing. Those are the three unwholesome attitudes. And this, so this creating can sometimes actually be helpful if it is something skillful, something wholesome that we're creating. Like the Buddha talks about the four great efforts, which is part of the Noble Eightfold Path. And in those four great efforts, it's about cultivating and creating wholesomeness in our lives and abandoning the unwholesomeness. Yeah? Abandoning the unskillfulness in our lives and creating skillfulness. So that can be a wholesome way that we can use creating. Then it is a wholesome type of desire. And then it's not this unwholesome greed. So this can be really helpful to keep in mind that sometimes, like if we are engaging with this right attitude, we might want to know, oh, what attitude am I meditating with, or am I going about my daily life with? That's actually a wholesome question and wholesome investigation. So maybe a little bit more about these three types of unwholesome attitudes, unwholesome ways to relate to our experience. The Sayadaw says, this is from the little booklet, trying to create something is loba or greed. Rejecting what is happening is dosa or aversion. Not knowing if something is happening or has stopped happening is moha or delusion. Loba, dosa, and moha, greed, aversion, and delusion. And those are kind of the basic tendencies of the mind. And these are called the three kilesa in Pali, the three, sometimes translated as defilements in English, which might be a little bit of a strong word. Those are three unwholesome roots of our existence. And you might be able to recognize that sometimes something happens, let's say you have pain in the body and you really feel aversive, like you really don't want this, or this not wanting is arising. And then this teaching on wise attitude can be really helpful, like, oh, noticing that this aversion has arisen. Noticing this attitude. Just this noticing can be really helpful. And then we can maybe investigate, oh, why is there aversion? What does it feel like in the body, in the mind? And then Sayadaw also points out that if we start to investigate, if we start to see what is happening, then that is about collecting data points, as he calls it. So we're collecting these data points. We're seeing what is happening. And these data points, at some point, will string together in the mind, in the background. And that gives rise to wisdom. So it's not that we can force wisdom to arise. It's about wisdom arising out of our seeing of what is happening. And sometimes we need to see it over and over and over again. Yeah? Hundreds of times, these attitudes that arise. And then at some point, wisdom might arise in the form of like an insight. At some point, we might all of a sudden see what is happening, see these conditions, these conditioned patterns, all these patterns that we all have. Like I remember earlier on in my practice, I was quite aversive towards doing household like cleaning chores and stuff. And I would try to put it off as much as I could. And I didn't want to dust and vacuum and stuff like that. And then at some point, you just have to do it because it just gets too bad. And then with a lot of aversion, I would finally do it and probably like a week too late. And then, I'd spent like, I don't know how long on this dusting and vacuuming. And with all this aversion in my mind and body, creating a lot of like extra energy, or costing a lot of extra energy. And so when I started practicing, I started to see, hey, wait, like there's so much aversion going on around this topic. Let me just observe it. Let me just see what it feels like. And I started to really become aware of it while I was cleaning. And slowly but steadily, it kind of released. And I kind of, you know, saw the how it was costing so much energy and restricting myself in a way that the mind naturally started to let go of this tendency to have aversion towards the cleaning. And so that was a really wonderful way of seeing like that it just happened out of itself. It didn't have to do anything special. The mind just kind of let go of this tendency to have aversion. And of course, it still sometimes happens that I feel, when I know I need to start cleaning, I feel this little bit of aversion coming up. But then there's this realization, oh, wait, oh, yeah, there's this aversion again, this old pattern. And it kind of lets go again out of itself. It's not sticky anymore. It's not overtaking me anymore. So we can look at these kind of patterns in our own lives. What is it like to move through the world when these attitudes are present, when these unwholesome attitudes are present, and when there's this craving for something to be different than it is, this wanting, this creating something that Tassaira talks about, this, and then in a way that might not be as wholesome as creating something that, you know, is beneficial for a path. What does it feel like to move through the world when this dosa, this aversion is present? And this aversion can take many forms, like it can be like a self-critical voice in our heads. It can be judgments about ourselves or others. It can be sadness or anxiety. Can be that striving that I was talking about. This controlling, wanting control. It can be all sort of forms of conceit or self-deprecation, these kind of things. And what does it feel like to move through the world when there's delusion, when there's not knowing? And this is often a bit of a more difficult one to grasp for people, delusion, sometimes called ignorance. And it can express itself by just kind of this confusion, not knowing. Sometimes it's like this fog in the brain. It can be like spacing out. It's all sorts of ways that we don't clearly see what's happening. And usually when the lobha or dosa, the greed or aversion is present, there's always also the moha, the ignorance or delusion. It's always present too. Because by definition, if there is greed or aversion present, we will not see clearly. It's like a filter in front of our minds. And you might also recognize that when there's a lot of aversion present, let's say you're angry with someone, then you start to see everything from this lens of anger, like you're angry with this one person, and then this other person says something that that would normally be okay is now annoying you because you're so aversive. Or the rain is all of a sudden something that annoys you, well, otherwise you would be fine with the rain or that kind of thing. It's kind of this filter, like this lens we're looking through. And so we can be really interested in, like, what is the attitude right now? What is the relationship to what is happening in each moment? It's not that we should, you know, ask ourselves that each moment, but in the moments that we feel inspired to do so. And sometimes I notice all of a sudden that there is this background mood present, like this background mood of a little bit of not really feeling like anything. And then I notice, oh, wait, a little bit of an attitude of I'm not really feeling like anything attitude. So sometimes, you know, when you notice that something has been lingering for a while, you can ask yourself, oh, is there a certain attitude or a certain relationship to what is happening right now? It can be really revealing and helpful to then notice. And in his book, Don't Look Down on the Defilements, Sayadaw also has a definition of right attitude. And I'll read a little bit of that. And he says, having the right attitude is a way of looking at things that makes you content, comfortable, and feel at ease with whatever you are experiencing. And that sentence has just helped me so much over the years. Like, if I'm not content, comfortable, and at ease with what I'm experiencing, it means there is an attitude present. So you can wonder for yourself, am I content, comfortable, and at ease with what I'm experiencing in this moment? And if not, what's the attitude? Which unwholesome attitude is present? So that's kind of a little bit of an investigation. And Sayadaw in this little booklet also has other investigation questions. One of them is, what is the mind doing? Is it thinking or is it aware? And you can also be aware of thinking, of course. Where is the mind now, inside or outside? And another question is the watching or observing mind properly aware or superficially aware? And what's the quality of the awareness? You might notice sometimes there's this kind of background awareness present that is kind of has this delusional quality to it. Like there's this kind of background. It's kind of not really seeing things. It's kind of half there, but not fully there. And this is kind of maybe a superficial awareness. Maybe we can sharpen it a little bit. And also about the thinking, like what's the mind doing? Is it thinking or is it being aware? And then he says, also, don't feel disturbed by the thinking mind. You're not practicing to prevent thinking, to recognize and acknowledge thinking whenever it arises is what you're practicing. And we often might have this tendency to want to get rid of thinking, or if we come out of this train of thoughts that we feel like, oh no, I've been away in thoughts for the last 5 minutes or the last half hour, and only now I'm coming out. Oh, I'm such a lousy meditator. You notice the attitude in that, like this aversion, this like I'm not any good kind of attitude. We can notice these conditionings that we have, these patterns. It's not about when you become aware again. It's about that you become aware again. And from there, we can appreciate whatever awareness is present. And what sometimes happens is that we have this attitude. So we notice the aversive or the greedy or the ignorant attitude. And then we start to feel like, oh, I shouldn't have this attitude. This attitude shouldn't be here. I don't want this attitude. So notice those two. Notice the attitude towards the attitude, so to speak. And it's like the Buddha talks about this arrow that hits us in one of the suttas and that causes us bodily pain. Someone shoots an arrow at us, or we shoot ourselves at us. And then what we do is, with this attitude of aversion towards this pain, we inflict ourselves a second arrow. But sometimes we even inflict ourselves a third arrow by not wanting this second arrow. So we can be aware of that too. And so those are the three kind of unwholesome basic attitudes that can take many shapes and forms. And the greed, the aversion, and the delusion. And then there's our, of course, wholesome attitudes as well. And the basic wholesome attitude is just this okayness with whatever is happening. And this can also take other forms, like just kind of an equanimity. An equanimity can be described as this okayness with what is happening. Or maybe even an attitude of kindness or compassion or warmth. Or patience. Or calmness. It can have very several different forms of wholesome attitudes. And it's so important to also recognize those. Because we tend to, notice the unwholesomeness, of course. But the wholesomeness is what helps us forward on our path, which gives us more energy and gives us faith that this path is actually working. And Sayadaw says, we all have wrong attitudes. We cannot help having them. So that's really good to know. Because we maybe tend to give ourselves a hard time when a hard attitude and a difficult attitude is there, or an unwholesome attitude. But we all have them. We cannot help having them. So we are going to experience them. And so Sayadaw says, don't try to have the right attitude. Try to recognize if you have the wrong or right attitude instead. Be aware of right attitude. And it's important to recognize and investigate wrong attitudes. That's what Sayadaw says. And I want to close with a quote from Tanisaro Bhikkhu, to also put another voice in the mix. He says, meditation is a skill, and mastering the skill can be joyful in the same way that it can be joyful to master any skill that gives satisfaction.